right, everybody, it's my turn. I sit here patiently in the wings waiting for Sean to close it down so I can get on the air, and I thank you for those that have been sending me messages saying, hey, Cam, let's light this candle. Here we go. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is brought to you by Regions, and I've spent a good part of the last several days preparing today's show. Great guests, great content, great takeaway. Let me tell you what we're going to get into, and I'm going to reemphasize some of the things we began last week. One of the new segments on the show that we're offering is now, and I've got a better term for it, take it or leave it. Take it or leave it. What we're doing is asking the guests who have made it through or continuing to try to make it through the COVID economy what they're going to take with them, business ideas that they've generated that have come their way that they've said, you know what? If it weren't for this crisis, I never would have thought about this. And this is a good idea that I'm going to take with me. So what are you going to take? Leave it. What can you not wait to be done with as a result of the COVID economy and ready to leave behind? Take it or leave it segment. And we're going to ask our guests today as they talk about the challenges that they face and how they're muddling through the take it or leave it question. More importantly than their feedback, though, is yours. I want to hear your take it or leave it. And here's the way to reach out to me and tell me things that you're going to take, things that you're going to leave behind. The first one is email me. That's the best way to explain these things. Cam@whatsworkingcam.com. That's cam@whatsworkingcam.com, as well as text or voicemail. And the number is the same for the two. 251-260-8100. Again, 251-260-8100. I'm happy to say that the first call-in that we've had for Take It or Leave It after last week's episode will air on Thursday. Let me know what you want to take. Let me know what you want to leave behind. Additionally, as a result of so many of the guests we've had in the last 8 or 10 weeks, we're starting to add new webinars upcoming. Some of the guests have really dropped some gems of ideas. These are the business consultants that have said, here are the things that you need to do. And I thought, why not organize their content into a webinar? We don't have our first dates yet, but they'll be a little bit down the road. And a lot of the great insight we gain from my guests is going to be organized into a webinar. We'll talk more about that and how to get involved in these webinars. The content is going to be rich. There's no reason to leave it behind when the show ends. Let's bring it and get it more actionable. Now, let's talk about today. What we got coming up today are two guests and then our third motivational segment. The first guest is Don Urquhart with UJ Chevrolet. He and I were talking the other day and he said, Cam, what do you have any idea of the frustration of having remarkable opportunities for your customers to buy cars, but having no inventory to sell them? The COVID crisis shut down production, and we are being given all sorts of incentives for car buyers, but when they come onto the lot, they look around and say, where are the cars? Don has faced the challenge of this and is coming through it with some pretty innovative ideas, and we're going to get him on the line here momentarily to talk about the things that he's come up with to find things to sell to his customers, giving the remarkable deals that the manufacturers are offering out there. The second guest is a guy named Garrett Smith, and I like Garrett a lot. He runs Redbeard Outfitters in Spring Hill, in the Spring Hill Shopping Center. They have taken the retail time during the COVID economy to reinvent some of the things. And we're going to talk to him specifically about take it or leave it in COVID economy in the retail. And finally, we'll talk to Shane Hale. Shane Hale, again, another buddy of mine, bumped into all these people over the weekend. Shane knows the value of a morning routine to get him squared away. He's our inspirational, motivational segment for the day. We're going to talk to him about how to orient yourself for the day. At 1:52 p.m., we will recap the best ideas that we hear today. Make sure you're back at 1:52 p.m., and then we'll get Shane on the line to talk about the things that he's going to do, or the morning routines. Don't forget to find us on Facebook. We're all over Instagram these days, courtesy of the team that I've put together. We're all over Facebook. What's Working with Cam Marston? Find that stuff. You can learn about today's guests. You can learn where each show is going. And we invite you to get involved and recommend shows to us, or guests to us, on those two venues. When we come back from break, I'll have Don Urquhart with UJ Chevrolet on the line. He will talk to us about the challenge of huge incentives with nothing to sell. It's kind of funny. Funny to me. I'm pretty sure it's not funny to Don. We'll be back after these breaks. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston, brought to you by Regions. Don John Urquhart is fourth generation president of UJ Chevrolet here in Mobile. The COVID economy hit and he was flat-footed like so many of us were. And then the car dealers, or the manufacturers rather, said, man, we're going to make some incentives for buying cars right now that are enormous. And Don said, hey, this sounds fantastic. We're going to move some cars. And then they said, but we're not going to build any more cars for a while. And Don said, just like so many of us, what do I do next? Don, thank you for your time. Welcome to What's Working.
Hey, Cam. Thanks for having me.
So tell us the story. The COVID economy hit. You got the incentives lined up and you looked out and the lot was empty.
Yeah, you know, back in March, 1st of March, we were sitting okay from an inventory standpoint, and just kind of like everybody else, just what's going to happen. And they came out with their incentives to try to drive, you know, drive the market, push the market. And, you know, it worked, and we were excited and happy and, you know, couldn't wait to do it again the next day. And then at the end of March, I think it was the 26th of March, they announced that they were shutting down all production at all plants due to the COVID. And
yes.
You know, how long? Well, we don't, like everybody else, we don't know. And so that's kind of the battle we've been fighting the last, you know, 2 to 3 months is, you know, when they're going to open up, and when they do, how long is it going to take?
Right. So I know the manufacturing lines, from what I read in the headlines, have begun to roll again, but due to social distancing demands, they're not rolling at 100%, are they?
When they started on the 26th, there was a couple plants, the truck plants primarily, because that's what we were selling when all this hit. That's where the great deals were. We keep 100 trucks. I think we have 8 now. And so when they started back up, they were under the same rules we all were, you know, keeping everything disinfected, keeping people safe as best you can, and if all of a sudden something happened, they shut it down. But I think we've been fortunate enough so far that their first plan for May, which May 18th was the startup, and that's great, but we got over 2,000 dealers, Chevrolet dealers, with 17 different models, and they built 5,500 vehicles as their goal in May.
Yeah.
Do the math.
Yeah. Yeah, and you got to get on the top of that list to start getting inventory. Tell me the
absolutely.
What was your feeling, Don, when you began to see these incentives coming out and really, really exciting, then realized that the pipeline was empty? There were no car carriers on their way to bring you more inventory. What did you do?
Well, you know, we sit down and make a game plan. We make a game plan every month, and we revisit it every day, and every week, and every day. And you look at your inventory and you look at what you have, and you do the best you can with what you have. And that's just being very careful of, you know, how you sell, where, you know, does another dealer want your car and do you give it to them? Well, maybe, unless, as long as you can get something similar back. And so it's just we're very, you got to pay attention. You know, you always have to pay attention, but, you know, you really have to pay attention now to make sure you do the best job you can with what you have.
Speaking of which, paying attention, if I didn't get out a whole lot during the crux of the crisis, if you were to drive down the street right now, you'd never know that there's a crisis or an economy in decline, or however you want to describe it. It's just busy out there right now. But for a while, no traffic meant no service as well for the cars that you typically deal with. So your service department didn't have anything to handle because nobody was putting miles on their cars.
That's correct. You know, you take service and body shop. Well, if people aren't driving, guess what they're not doing? They're not running into each other. Especially, we had beautiful weather during March and April, and so we got caught with a little bit of a difficult body shop run, but I think it's picking back up. Service the same way. When the governor shut the state down, I think we dropped about 50% of what we were used to doing on a day-by-day basis. And when she opened it back up, it started ticking back up again. We're still fighting and clawing to get back to where we were. I think the issue now is parts. Same thing with the vehicles. Parts manufacturers stop building parts. Stop making parts. So just we're scratching and clawing our way through each one of these blockades in the road, and we just try to find our way around them and get back on the road and get back going in the direction we're trying to go.
You know, I'm smiling here, Don, and I know I'm not smiling at your challenges, but such a unique confluence, let's use that word, of things that happened at the same time that impacted you in such a unique way. But I know there's a silver lining to this. You and I spoke about it. So there are no cars on their way. There are very, very few cars to sell, and what may be on your light is something strange and crazy that has a very limited market. The service department and the body shop is looking for work, and you did what?
You know, we looked at the whole situation, and you know, with business going down, that means employees aren't making the money they're used to making, and you know, how do we help everybody without just handouts? You know, because we still need to generate revenue, and there's other expenses. And so we offered the employees, you know, hey, here, I know you're struggling just like the whole company is, so let me give you an opportunity to make some additional money. And so we gave them a chance if they would set up an appointment. You know, this could be the janitor. This could be the lady in the office who counts all the money. Anybody who works here could, you know, hey, my mom needs to get her oil changed. And if they would bring the car in, we'd bonus them. We'd give them some extra commission, basically. Or if they just help set us an appointment, we'd give them a little bit lesser commission. We're trying to get some money in their pockets to help them. But if it's helping us, hey, no-brainer. And same thing with sales. And same thing with the other biggest problem we're having now is used car inventory. No new cars, no trade-ins. And so we're scavenging across the land to see what we can come up with. And we've incentivized everybody in the store. If they can bring us something, here's a chance for you to make up some of your lost income or make more than what you're used to making.
So the people that historically have not been on the sales side, we're told that with a little motivation, a little incentive, if you can find work, essentially work for us to do, whether it be get a used car ready for sale and we'll go examine that car, or bring your aunt or cousins or your first cousin's uncle's brother-in-law's car in for an oil change, there's some revenue that has not traditionally been there. There's some revenue
absolutely,
for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, they're my people. I mean, we are not who we are without the people. And so, you know, part of my job is to make sure everybody has a chance. You know, I want my people to be healthy and strong. And if I can do it, that gives a positive impact on the business, and that leads to positive impact on them, shoot, that's a win-win for everybody.
What happened? So you gave them the incentive. What has happened? And in my experience is it's the 80-20 rule in just about everything, meaning 20% of the people in your business will do 80% of this new type of work and bring in 80% of the new revenue. Is that what happened? Is that what your result was?
You know, probably, I have not tallied it up yet. And I'm keeping records of it, but I've not put a tally to it. I would, if I had to guess, that's probably about right. Probably not too far off. And some people have realized that opportunity, like, you know what, I'm going to win. I'm going to do this thing. And it's been great for them. I have a young guy married with kids, and, you know, he's new to the business, been in the business less than a year, and he's doing well in the business, but he's seeing other opportunities. Well, I can do well at what I do, but I'm a salesman. I don't have as many opportunities out there because of back to the inventory issue. But I can fill that void with some of these opportunities and hopefully not miss a beat in my family's normal day-to-day lives.
It's amazing when you throw the opportunity for growth into the hands of the people that work for you, and I'll speak for myself, you get extraordinarily motivated by those that take the opportunity and do something with it. You feel good, they feel good, they see a bigger future for themselves, you see a bigger future for them. It's really kind of inspirational. Is that what you've experienced?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, a minute ago, it's without our people, we are not who we are. UJ Chevrolet is not UJ Chevrolet without the people, or UJ Chevrolet is who UJ Chevrolet is with the people. I'm shooting for a great group of people that you know. I don't care. I don't really hope they don't do jumping jacks and cartwheels coming the door every morning, but I want them to love their job, enjoy their job, and I sure don't want them come in going, oh, I got to work again today. So if we provide that atmosphere, we provide those opportunities, they can say, you know what, I work at UJ, and I'm happy about where I go. I don't mind telling my friends and family where I work and what I do. And that's my goal as an owner, is to make sure that the people, all of our people, you know, feel good about what we do.
You told me that some of them had some of them had started to utilize social media to find cars for sale.
Yes, that's correct. Social media, side of the road, you know, former customers, current customers, just any way, friends, family, whatever, wherever they can scratch and claw something up, you know, we'll take a look at it. And all they have to do is bring the information to our buyer, our used car manager, and he makes the decisions if it fits our inventory and whatnot. And it's a minimal amount of work, but enough to make them get excited about the reward that, you know, potentially could come if we're able to do these things.
Yeah, I think it's great. A non-traditional way to incentivize people who historically have not been in a front-facing, sales-oriented position to get involved in a time of difficulty, and many of them have stepped up. It's a great story. Now, speaking of which, in a time of difficulty, UJ Chevrolet, and I've seen this through your social media posts, have chosen, is it 70 or is it 50 locally owned companies to try to help them out during these challenging times?
You know, I don't want to call it a help. I just want to call it a support. You know, it's 70. We have 70 employees right now, and so I picked 70 local businesses owned by local people, and we're doing a spotlight every day. It's a couple paragraph write up about them. It introduces whoever follows us on Facebook, introduces our people to them, where they are, what they do, and here's the face behind it. And what we've done is bought two gift cards from each one of them, $50 gift cards, and one goes to an employee that we do a write-up about them every day. So the business gets matched to the employee. The employee gets a little shout-out. You know, we want to tell the world about them a little bit and their family, reward them with something. It's nothing big, but something, hey, here's thanks for you. Today's your day. It's not even your birthday, but today's your day. And then we also give the other gift card to a customer. Just, hey, Mr. Customer, thank you for coming in. We don't use it to sell a car. We just, oh, here, thank you for coming. We appreciate you. Go try this place out.
I love it. It's generous. It's taking care of local. It's taking care of people. It's taking care of your customer. I think it's a great plan, and I applaud you for doing it. Don, I want to ask you about this theme that we're developing on the show, the Take It or Leave It. Looking back, you've had to institute some ideas as a result of the crisis that you'll take with you, and I'm sure there are some that you are ready to be done with. Go through Take It or Leave It for us. What are you going to take?
Well, on the Take It side, Cam, you know, there's a few things that we're going to keep, you know, that we found out that, you know, one, I have to do a better job of reviewing our expenses a little more often than when there's a downturn of some sorts. So, you know, we're going to be a little more consistent on that, you know, just expense management. You know, we start instituting more pickup and true advertised pickup and delivery service. And so we're going to keep that on the table and see if it can go anywhere with it. And, you know, the earning opportunities. I think, you know, why just do it now? Why not give the people an opportunity all the time? If I'm an hourly guy, I know I'm making $15 an hour. I know that's all I'm going to make. Well, I can make that, maybe bring a couple of customers in or find a car on the side of the road for sale and have those extra opportunities. Some stuff I'm going to leave in the past. They have come up with some disinfecting services that we've been using on some cars. I think we're going to keep that just from a safety standpoint, offer it to customers. I think with all this, it may be something that people are interested in. But stuff we're going to hope to kick to the curb is the Corona, first and foremost.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of it, the stuff that we've either been asked to do or we've taken upon ourselves to do from a cleanliness standpoint, disinfecting standpoint, I challenge any other dealers to do what we do every day. But with that, my people are tired of hearing that nuclear plant reactor alarm go off at 10 and 2 every day, where they drop what they're doing and grab the spray bottles and the rags and go wipe down every surface in the showroom. So I'm hoping to leave that one in the past at some point in time. But you know, there's some other stuff that comes with this. It's the occupancy, the fire code occupancy stuff that we're looking at, that, you know, 50% of the occupancy, which my showroom's fine, no big deal. I go to the busiest part of my store. It's where my parts department is, my service department is, and my cashier is. I can have six people there at a time. Well, I have six people working in there at a time, not counting customers. So I'll be happy when they, hopefully sooner than later, you know, pull the strings on that one and make that one disappear for us.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm sure you're done with that. So let me get this straight. Twice a day, there's a horn or something that stops procedure, that stops everyone, and they wipe things down. Is that right?
That is correct. It sounds like a nuclear alarm going off. It's one of my sales manager's phones, and you can hear it across the showroom.
Oh, wow. Yeah. In order to keep it clean, now this is something you're choosing to do. It's not like somebody's with a badge on is going to step inside and say, when's the last time you wiped the store down?
Exactly. I mean, we're doing it. We have our regular janitorial service who does their thing every night. We're disinfecting cars when they come in for service. But, you know, we feel also that we're going to make sure all the surfaces, the stuff that gets touched a lot, you know, that people feel comfortable when they come in, customers and employees.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I applaud you for all this stuff. This is really very impressive. Is there anything that has kind of surprised you out of all this, Don? Anything that you really have come away with going, I never would have thought that happened about your business?
You know, there's two things with that, Cam. And the first is sales, you know, might take the inventory off the table, but sales, people have still trying to buy cars. And I don't know if it's just I'm over it. I'm getting back to my life the best I can. But, you know, the customers have still shown up. And that's a good thing. It's a bad thing. So look at, golly. I mean, see, we dealt with a strike, a two-month strike in the first quarter, which killed us on parts and killed us on inventory from General Motors. And so we were just kind of getting cleared up from that in you know, the first quarter with a lot of inventory. I think I've got 300 cars in the system that are going to get to us at some point in time the next 3 months.
Yeah.
So all that stuff was supposed to come the last quarter. And so it just kind of keeps bumping us back a little bit. Hopefully, you know, we as time moves on, if there's no plant shutdowns, we can get back to a normal sense. So I'm happy with the customers. Another thing I've been very impressed with, and it makes me feel good about our people, is the amount of our people who have come to me in private, one-on-one, and have offered cut and pay, no pay, anything to do to help us out. Because if you go back to March, no one knew what was going to happen. I mean, it was, is the world coming to an end? Are we all going to be dead on the sidewalks? You know, nobody knew. And so, but, you know, I was very impressed and very humbled, and I felt very proud of my people for the ones who came to me and said, hey, you don't have to pay me.
That's awesome. Let's finish it up there. Don Urquhart is the fourth generation of president of UJ Chevrolet, giving us some great insights on how to keep alive during COVID and the things that have surprised him, what he wants to keep, what he wants to leave behind. I'll have a number of these in the 1:52 p.m. summary today. Don, thank you so much for your time. Folks, you're listening to What's Working. We'll be right back. There are only a few stores where I could go into and walk myself into the back corner of the store, in the corner, the farthest corner, and point from left to right and say, I'll take one. And these stores are just places where everything they offer is something that I find interesting, it's high quality, and it seems to have a wonderful value to me. One of those stores, without a doubt, is Red Beer Outfitters in the Spring Hill Shopping Center, and on the line with me is Garrett Smith. Garrett, thank you so much for your willingness to come on the show and talk about your COVID struggles. Garrett?
Yeah, thank you for having us, Cam. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear, buddy. Yeah. So you, retail, obviously struggled during the time of the COVID economy, and much of it continues to struggle. Tell us a little bit about what happened to you, and then we'll get into what you did as a result.
Yeah, so like most retail, like you said, with the exception of a few things like grocery stores and stuff, we've had to struggle with reduced sales and employees not coming in to work because they didn't feel safe at the time. So about 3 months ago, we told all of our employees that it was up to them on what they wanted to do to feel safe with working and everything. And so we just kind of had to balance that that play there. So before the shutdown, it ended up where I was working by myself in the store
Yeah.
for several weeks. And so that was definitely a struggle, being open 7 days a week with one person in the store.
Yeah.
So,
retail is tough. Retail is tough regardless of how many people you got there. Retail has always been a historically tough business, and it continues to be tough, particularly when the customers are told not to leave their houses and come to the store. But you, like the guests before you, had some ideas on ways to get through. What are you going to take away from the COVID crisis? What are the ideas that you instituted that you feel like are pretty good that you're going to keep with you?
So we've done quite a few different things. One, I guess the biggest to impact our local selling environment was that we instituted free delivery in Mobile and Baldwin County. So you could buy from anywhere in those two counties, whether you live in Stockton or all the way in Perdido, as long as you were in those counties and you bought anything from us, we would deliver it. And that has actually gone over so well in the local community that we extended it. And that's going to be something that we continue to do moving forward, just to try to meet our customers where they're comfortable. And then some other stuff that we learned is just that we were reminded that people still care about local businesses. All of our customers have been looking for ways to continue to support us, and just looking for a reason to care about our business. We do a lot that is community oriented. So we're going to continue to start doing those things again while we still meet the CDC guidelines, like our yoga classes. We'll move them outdoors. We'll start our run club back up with social distancing, and same with like our free hikes and stuff. But it really came through that our customers were, they wanted to feel a part of something. And they just wanted to be at a store that cared, where it wasn't just a transaction.
So the customers wanted an engagement with you. They wanted to know that you cared. It sounds like the employees felt the same way too. You can't look closely at the profitability numbers of delivering something to Stockton from Mobile, though, huh? You just did it because it was the right thing to do?
We did it because it was the right thing to do, and we did it. It was an easy way to get out, and whether it was talking to people through their glass doors or from the distance of their porch to get feedback, and also the customers had a chance to kind of let us know how everything was affecting them.
So they were able to communicate with you. Tell me what people were buying. Did you see a trend in what they were buying during the depths of the crisis before people could get back out? Did it tell you something about what was going on out there?
Oh, yeah. We could definitely see buying patterns changed. People were scared and nervous in the beginning. Our sales shifted heavily into freeze-dried meals and water filtration and things that people need just to survive. We were shipping lots of that product and delivering locally lots of that product. As things moved on and progressed, and people started to feel a little more comfortable, it has shifted to things like neck gaiters and bandanas. So things that people need as we move forward in this COVID world, I guess, of being able to interact with each other. And now we're back into, since the beaches have opened, people are coming in and kind of shopping more for like things that they used to shop for, like coolers and beach tents.
So have you seen your first suntan line from a face mask? Have you seen somebody come in with a white nose and mouth as a result of wearing their face mask on the beach?
Yeah, we haven't seen that one yet, but I'm sure it's coming real soon. You know, sometimes you got to get real pink and everything before you get that nice brown face mask tan. I'll be interested to see that along with the sunglasses.
Yes.
The sunglasses suntan line.
people are going to start coming in looking like a panda bear or something strange and crazy like that. And then unless you knew the environment of the mask and everything, you'd wonder what in the world were wrong with these people. What is it that you're doing under that heat lamp that makes you look like this? But, you know, it's interesting to me that so much of what you sell is for the outdoors, for camping, like a water filtration unit. And people are suddenly buying them for their homes. The COVID deal has made us look at survival in a different way. And you guys, I guess, rose to the top of many people's lists by the very nature of who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So it was amazing to see how many people came in just to support us and do something local. Rather than buying it online, they were willing to schedule a curbside pickup or have it delivered.
So one of the things that we were talking about is, what are you going to take? Take it or leave it. What are you going to take? And you've given us some ideas of things that you feel like are the right thing to take forward, either because they serve the customer in a new and better way, they keep your employees engaged in a new and better way. Let's talk about the opposite side of that coin. What are you ready to never see again?
So, ready to never see again, I hope that we don't see a shutdown ever again. It's just difficult for everybody. But just the pure nature of being a small business, we're constantly forced to self-edit, whether that is our product mix with brands and clothes and equipment, or the employees that we have, or the events that we do. So we're constantly self-editing. Did that work? Did it not? So I think we were doing the leave it process before COVID hit. So there's not a lot that we'll leave behind. We're definitely going to continue doing the local delivery moving forward. It was very beneficial for us.
I'm wondering if you're part of any sort of network group. So many small businesses seem to have peer-oriented groups that they meet with or communicate with over a teleconference. This is even before the crisis, but they kind of share numbers, they share ideas, they're in similar businesses but different markets. And I'm wondering if you have any colleagues in a similar business that experience something similar in terms of their reaction to COVID.
Yeah, so I have friends that have similar businesses in other towns that we got together and chatted about what we were doing differently, and a lot of them liked our community engagement with the local delivery. I don't have anybody in that peer group that went to as large of a radius as we did, but. We definitely discussed what we were doing with employees and where we were going with customers. So there were some of them own grocery stores, some own outdoor shops, all kinds of different retail.
Did you get any ideas from them that you tried out that maybe didn't work due to the uniqueness of the Mobile market?
I think we pretty much, the things that we tried, because we've been self-editing from the beginning, there wasn't a lot that we had to add during the crisis. So it wasn't like a big revelation on these things didn't work.
Yeah. So I've talked to a couple of guests over the past several weeks that one of them is a bike shop here in town. Talked to a guy personally who is a boat dealer, and a lot of their boats in a certain price range. It's just hard to find them. I spent time the other day with a guy who has an RV park, not an RV park, but an RV home site. And all these things have in common is outdoors, is an escape to get outside. As the guy at the RV said, nobody sits around as a family and talks about that day. Everybody sat alone staring into their phone. They talk about the day that they were outdoors together, hiking, they were on the water, they were camping, they were canoeing, they were fishing. Have you seen a surge in this demand?
Yes, definitely. So there's been a surge of people just reaching out to us and popping in the store since we reopened, but even before, reaching out through email and calling us, asking about where do we go outdoors in Mobile. Everybody thinks of us as just a water town, but we have three trails in our area that are long enough to do overnight or even 4 month long hikes. So, and these are just outdoors avenues that people don't realize that we have in this area.
Yeah, that seems to be the theme. Let's hope that stuff sticks. Garrett Smith runs Redbeard Outfitters in the Spring Hill Shopping Center. Talking to the, go ahead, he's got the take it or leave it from COVID. Garrett, I appreciate it. Folks, you're listening to What's Working, brought to you by Regions. We'll be back after this break. Folks, it's the 152 recap. I know your day is about to be complete, and it's even going to be more complete after we get Shane Hale on the phone. He's waiting patiently on the line. Here's the recap. Number one, this is from Don Urquhart earlier in the show. Offer incentives to non-traditional people who historically have not been involved in sales. Get them an incentive to be involved in the sales aspect, even if it's not on a regular basis. Selling is the key. Nothing happens till somebody sells something. Get non-traditional people involved or incentivized sale. Number two, non-traditional roles. Get people out of their traditional role every now and then, and they begin to respect and see the world from a different point of view, which is, again, what Don did. And then let them work. Let them do the job that you've given them to do. Take them out of a non-traditional role. Let them do the job that you've given them to do and see how they do in that way. And he didn't say this, but I get a sense that there might be some salespeople hidden among the team that have not been in traditional sales roles, and suddenly you throw this incentive in front of them and you see a new person come out. It's a great way to identify who might gravitate toward sales, is to throw some non-traditional incentives out there. And then we got into the Redbeard Outfitters with Garrett Smith. Delivery to the customer. It helps the customer feel important. It helps the customer stay loyal to the organization, to the company that brought something, in some cases, a long way to them. And it keeps the employees busy and feeling value to the customer and keeps them wanting to come back. I think there are going to be a lot of post-COVID lessons, a lot of take it and leave it lessons that we're all getting into. Now, on the line with me is Shane Hale. He's a buddy of mine, Bellator Realtors. Shane, thank you for your time. Welcome to What's Working.
Thank you, Cam.
You and I were talking not long ago about the importance of a morning ritual, of setting things up to begin your day, that at least for you and me in our conversation are key to getting the day off to the right start. And in our final segment each Tuesday, Thursday is the motivational, inspirational, and we're putting that under this banner here today. Tell me about rituals, processes, procedures that you rely on a daily basis, and give us some thoughts on that.
I'd be glad to. I think our past conversation, I benefited from speaking with you, and hopefully you did the same. Yeah, the thing I think I can offer that has helped me personally the most is to just encourage people, encourage myself to evaluate our daily routine and also to track it. I think our routine is important, and I think we sometimes, me personally as well, I don't put enough importance on it. I can make things too granular, too complicated. And at the end of the day, I think these are your words, not mine, a routine either serves us or it doesn't. So which is it? And that really stuck with me when we talked about that, which made me look closer at my routine. And as family man, business owners, we have so many hats we wear in life. And three of them I took specifically lately was, of course, my profession, but also from a faith and fitness perspective. From a faith perspective, do I start my morning off with my quiet time? It could be 5 minutes. It could be an hour. If I do that, my day tends to go better. My faith tends to stay on track. I also write a faith-based blog. And the only way to get better at anything you do, whether it's baseball, filling houses, or writing a blog, is to do it. So did I write that day? Did I share my thoughts with my platform? Two simple check boxes. I either check them at the end of the day or I don't. I did them or I did not do them. From a health perspective, the same thing. I took the most basic things that were important to me health-wise, and I get enough sleep. Did my weight go up or down? I actually check it every morning and night. And I also do intermittent fasting, which means I don't eat for 18 hours and eat for 6. And if I can do those three things, that's the cornerstone of my health platform. So again, does my routine support that for progress or does it not? As a realtor, as basic as this may sound, you know, Mobile's a small town, so if you make four or five stops during the course of the day, you're going to bump into somebody you probably know. And I try to start my day off by writing two simple handwritten notes, maybe a past client, maybe somebody I just bumped into at the store, But if you do that twice a day for a year, that's over 500 handwritten notes. And I promise you, that's going to make somebody call you when it's time to sell a house. It's something as simple as that. And make one client call. But our, you know, routines can change, but it helps me stay on track with something just as simple as a very small checklist that I'm held accountable to each morning and each evening before I go to bed. And if I'll stop and do those things, within short order, they become habits. And those are just as simple as they may sound, are just the basic fundamentals of those three parts of my life: faith, health, and profession. Of course, we can, you know, divide this up into numerous parts of our life, but make it small, focus on something, and expand from there.
Yeah, I think the word you use, the routine, the routines that begin my day are so very important to me to make sure the day is successful. And the audience that this show is built for is the small business owner, the business leader, the manager, the supervisor, et cetera, who has a responsibility that they live every day on their shoulders for, first and foremost, like you said, it's a family, it's the people around me, but also the team that depends upon me in the workplace. And I need to show up in the best of my capability every day. And I'm constantly shocked, Shane, at the significance of getting the day started correctly and how that impacts things that I do the remainder of the day. You and I are both fans of checklists, and I can over-checklist myself. In fact, I become a slave to the checklist versus, and sometimes that's not the right thing to do. But it's so key, at least to me, and I don't like the sound of me preaching, which is what I'm doing right now, to put my day into the vulnerability of my day into a very small handful of things that matter.
Yeah. And also, just to your point there, when you mentioned the fact of being responsible to people around you, whether it's your employees or whether it's your family, you've got to start with taking care of yourself. It can be difficult sometimes, getting adequate sleep, but feeding your body properly, getting the proper nutrition, if your health is out of whack, it's going to take everything out of whack. And it's hard to be on point at the job when you don't feel well, you're not rested. So even as basic as being selfish about your sleep and about your eating schedule, those things pay dividends, and they allow you to be the person you need to be to the other people around you. It may not fall in the category of this is my profession, but it requires me to be on point in certain areas, and I've got to take care of myself.
I call it a responsibility, and I can go overboard on responsibility, but it's a responsibility to be the person I need to be to the people around me, and that routine is key to getting me to be that person.
And you got to protect it. Once you get the routine down, you got to protect it. You can't just let it just, maybe today I'll do it, maybe tomorrow I won't. You got to protect it. And it just, I use the word dividends a lot. And if I'll, me speaking of myself personally, if I'll protect the small things in my life, I'm just a better person to be around and more productive. But it starts with me being responsible for me that carries over to other parts of my life as well.
Google Shane Hale, folks. You'll find him come up. There aren't many of them. He's the guy with the baseball background. Bellator Realtors, a buddy of mine. He's got a good routine. It serves him. You're listening to Where It's Working. Thursday, team building. I've got a former naval rowing coach coming on. Thursday, team building. This one's going to be great as well. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. We'll talk to you later.